to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid. We seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to err, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. To proceed. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the third lecture, a repeat lecture, in the series of Seeking Knowledge. Insha'Allah Ta'ala, today I would like to talk about the etiquette of the student of knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in translation into the English language, He says, O you who believe, when you are told to make room in the assemblies, spread out and make room. Ample room will Allah provide for you. And when you are told to rise up, rise up. Allah will raise up to suitable ranks and degrees those of you who believe and who have been granted knowledge. And Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. In Surah 58, Ayat 11. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, inshaAllah, we will discuss a collection of manners and etiquette designed for the students of knowledge that covers from the recommended conduct within the Islamic halaqah and any gathering in general where knowledge is being given and taught and sought. The scholars have said that the student of knowledge is more effective and can utilize his time better and can improve the atmosphere of study if indeed the proper etiquette of halaqah and personal conduct are corrected as they should be. And one of the reasons that I chose to go to this particular aspect of seeking knowledge was based on something that happened last week in one of Sister Layla's classes. The sister was being bombarded with questions and sidebar conversations within the chat board, and it got to such a high degree that she lost her concentration and her train of thought. Well, this is indeed not the etiquette of the student of knowledge, to disturb the instructor as they are instructing. So inshallah, with Jal, I would like to discuss some of the mannerisms that we should have as students of knowledge. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whosoever follows a path to seek knowledge therein, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. No people gather together in one of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it among themselves without tranquility descending upon them, mercy enveloping them, the angels surrounding them, and Allah making mention of them amongst those who are with Him. This is in Sahih Muslim. So first and foremost, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the student must realize the immense benefit of seeking knowledge and the ample reward from Allah in such gathering. Eagerness to learn and strive in the path of knowledge is highly required. As we have heard in the previous lectures about seeking knowledge, about the success stories and the consistent traits related from the likes of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and as we discussed last week, Ibn Abbas, rahimahum Allah, where their zeal for seeking knowledge adopted to the life of taking up journeying regularly, even if it was to go hundreds of miles for authenticating one single hadith. Eagerness to persevere the challenges of worldly obstacles to self-discipline, eagerness to dedicate to the thrill of striving for the sound and authentic knowledge of this being. And this eagerness means that we should try to show up on time for these halakha as they're scheduled, and to make the necessary preparations, like having notebooks and taking notes of the lectures that are giving. MashaAllah, the people who come here, indeed they may entertain you, but that's not their purpose of lecturing you. Their purpose for lecturing you is to guide you, to educate you. So don't waste their time. Be studious. When we were in high school and in the universities, when we were listening to the knowledge of this world, we took notes to become diligent and intellectual and intelligent students. So why shouldn't we give at least that much effort for this knowledge of Al-Islam? So we should focus on the objective as being sought. And in the previous two lectures, you've heard me say, and I'll probably say this in every lecture, and Allah knows best, I keep referring back to the hadith that Brother Abu Ibrahim has spoken about, where he said, actions are but by intention, and every man shall have but that which he intended. And of course, everything is dependent upon one's intention. If the student of knowledge has the sincerity of intention to seek knowledge and with the correct purpose, then that is what he can expect to receive as a reward. But if the knowledge is sought for purposes other than the pure intention to please Allah Azza wa Jal, the scholars have pointed out that eventual downfall and accursed results. The student of knowledge should strive to minimize the influences of this corrupt world from spoiling his good intentions to learn authentically. This, the beloved scholars of Islam have said, requires sincerity to learn for the sake of Allah rather than to please others or to gain financially, which can influence his effectiveness. How many times have we seen a person who, when they started out on this journey, on this path to seek knowledge, or on the path to teach people, well, their intentions seemed to be sincere, but as they gathered a following, when people started to follow them and started to praise them, they no longer taught to please Allah Azza wa Jal, but they wanted to hear the accolades and the praises of men. So I advise you, as I advise myself, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, when we start out on a journey to seek knowledge, let's make sure that our intentions are to please Allah and Allah alone. And as we proceed on this journey, reflect on your intentions. Make sure that you're still doing your actions simply to please Allah, but not to be better than them or for the sake of one-upmanship, but only to please Allah. All the while we're asking Allah to purify our intentions. And I advise you again, as I advise myself, when we complete our journey, that we go back and we reflect and make sure that we try to keep our intentions intact along the whole way. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us if we are going astray or if we lose our focus, and to bring us back to what is best. Ameen. Also, our brother Abu Ibrahim has discussed in his class on hadith from Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. He talked about the hadith of Jibril. And there's a lot that can be learned from this hadith in regards to the attitudes and the etiquette of the student of knowledge. So inshallah, not to step on the brother, but to compliment the brother and his halakha, let's look at this hadith briefly from the standpoint of the student of knowledge. It is narrated by Umar, radiyallahu anhu, where he said, one day, while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there appeared before us a man whose clothes were exceedingly white, and whose hair was exceedingly black, and no signs of journeying were to be seen on him, and none of us knew him. He, this man, walked up and sat down by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, resting his knees against his, and placing the palms of his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, excuse me, Islam is to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. To perform the salah, the obligatory prayers, to pay the zakat, the charity tax, and to fast the month of Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. The man said to the Prophet, "You have spoken rightly." And Omar said, and we were amazed at him asking him and then saying that he had spoken rightly. The man said then, "Tell me about Iman, faith, or the creed." And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in divine decree of good and evil." And again the man said, "You have spoken rightly." And then he proceeded to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Tell me about Ihsan, righteousness, or the beautiful thing." And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "It is to worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. And whilst you are not seeing Him, verily He sees you." Then the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Tell me about the hour," meaning the last day. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The one question knows, knows no better than the questioner." So the man asked him, "Tell me about its signs." And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "That the slave girl will give birth to her own mistress, that you will see the barefooted, naked, destitute herdsmen competing in the constructing of lofty buildings." Then the man took himself off, and I, meaning Umar, stayed for a while. Then he, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "O Umar, do you know who the questioner was?" And then Umar said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "It was Jibril alayhi salatu wa sallam who came to teach you your religion." And you can find this hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, and it's hadith number 2 in Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. So not only does this hadith teach us the main principles of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan, but it also highlights the etiquette of the Islamic halaqah and the proper conduct of the student of knowledge. Firstly, as the angel Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam is a heavenly being, the scholars understood, or some of the scholars understood from this hadith, the virtue of taking up journeying to seek knowledge. We can even learn from Jibril, he would go back and forth from the heavens to the earth, offered to deliver only one ayat of Quran, thus making it an institution to take up the virtue of journeying, even to great distances, for worthy knowledge. Secondly, the pleasantness in the manner of appearance, his personal hygiene, clothing, and assuming the proper etiquette of seating is highlighted from this hadith, where it says his clothing were exceedingly white, and his hair exceedingly black, and no signs of journeying. All point to the proper hygiene and clothing when it comes to the gatherings of knowledge. They also indicate eagerness to learn. Although in this particular hadith, Jibril, alayhi salatu wasalam, came to teach rather than to learn. But we saw from him resting his knees against his, the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and placing the hands of his, and placing his hands on his thighs. The student should be in a very attentive position in relation to his teacher. He should face to the direction of the teacher respectfully. And he should place his limbs, his legs and his hands in a respectful manner, not sit back exposing your feet to your teacher. In many cultures, this is seen as a sign of disrespect. To sit in a way upright and erect, to show our teacher that we are being sincere and that we're paying attention and not slouched over in a lazy position or leaning against the walls and falling asleep. But if we're going to take the time and the effort to come to the places of knowledge, even if it's in your own home, sitting here in the halakha, train yourself as if you were sitting in the masjid with the sheikh or the sheikha in front of you. Don't let the computer lead you to being a bad student, but let it be a means of making you a better student if possible. So with the correct posture and position, the hadith also taught of the etiquette of showing humility of the student to the people of knowledge. Like when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umar, do you know who the questioner was? And many times we will see where the Prophet would ask the students, his companions, do you know such and such, or what is such and such, or tell me about such and such. They would consistently answer, Allah wa Rasuluhu alim, Allah and His Messenger know best. So remember that we're not in a contest to show that we are better than the student beside us, but we're in this halaqa, or we're in these study circles to learn. So indeed, don't sit there and try to be the armchair quarterback or the backseat driver, but let the one who is there to instruct, let them be the instructor. If they want your opinion, they'll ask you for it. But it's not necessary for you to show that you have the knowledge or that you know better than the instructor. But be a student and show humility toward the one who has taken their time and their effort and has been given the responsibility by Allah to teach you. And thirdly, the hadith also stressed the manner of asking questions and its etiquette. Questions, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, should be asked to find something out, meaning to clarify a non-understood portion or to clarify a point. It should not be asked to deviate to topics of no need, nor should it be asked repetitively to cause confusion, nor should it be asked to get an answer not of a practical nature. Nor does the student of knowledge bother or trouble the teacher. If the teacher does not know the answer, and the teacher is not supposed to know all the answers, perfect knowledge is only with Allah. And it indeed is a sign of a good teacher when they sit there and say, Allahu alam, or La adri, Allah knows best, I don't know. We're not meant to know all the answers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability and the faculties to find the answers. So let's not try to force information from people when we just don't have the answers. And although the hadith does not mention the tone of voice used, the scholars of this deen recommend to the student to utilize tones of voice with respect and honor, and asking questions at the right time. I've observed my sister Layla when she does her presentations, because indeed she's the one who does the most presentations on this site. And she will always periodically say, are there any questions? So if we are patient as students, at the end of the halakha or sometime along the way, we'll be given an opportunity to ask questions. And if you fear that you might forget your questions, then heed the first advice that I gave you from this halakha. Keep a notebook, write down your questions. And then when the appropriate time is given to ask the questions, you don't have to worry about forgetting. Now you have your list of questions, and you didn't disrupt the teacher, and you didn't disrupt the other students. And perhaps the question that you're asking is a question that the other students have as well. So not only do you benefit yourself by being patient and being diligent and taking these notes, but you also benefit your brother and sister in Islam. For indeed our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, you are not truly a believer until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Lowering the gaze and gazing respectfully at the teacher is also highly stressed. And of course, keeping the environment learning friendly, like remaining silent, not chatting away on the chat board while someone is trying to instruct. These are forms of distraction. Many times the person is trying to instruct and they're observing the conversation that's going on, and it totally takes away their train of thought. So whether we're in the masjid or here at the computer, when the halakas are going on, be respectful, remain silent. because you're not only disrupting the teacher, but you're disrupting those who are also trying to learn. If you're not willing to learn yourself, leave. And let those who are here to learn, let them learn. If you want to go chat, there are many places in this internet to go chat. But the primary source or the primary reason for this particular website is for the proper teaching and learning of Al-Islam. So we must advise each other into the proper ways. And keep in mind, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the scholars said there is no problem if the students ask for dalil, and indeed we should ask them for dalil, particularly at this site, because this site is indeed based on Quran and Sunnah, authentic Quran and Sunnah. But when we ask for these things, don't ask for them as a manner of challenging the teacher, but ask for it with honor and with sincerity. Check yourself. This one particular habit frequented by the earlier students of knowledge that I'm about to mention has pretty much been forgotten amongst us today. And that is to memorize and to act upon the knowledge that we are given. Thus, we must strive to gather knowledge for the purpose of trying to memorize and to act upon it, rather than simply listening and wasting our time and the instructor's time. Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "It is sufficient falsehood for a person that he narrates everything which he hears." The student of knowledge or a Muslim must be careful in everything, particularly with regard to what he hears of the deen in Quran and Hadith or studies from anybody. How many times have we looked at the question board and we see some outrageous questions? Well, I was told on a Yahoo chat room, or I was told in Pal Talk. No, we have to be careful from where we get our deen. So it is an obligation upon you and I to carefully check and verify everything before narrowing it or spreading it amongst the people. The student of knowledge, he is even extra careful in anything regarding the rulings of Sharia or Fiqh, as this can affect people and lives. And we have to be careful of the innovating things, the bid'ah. For indeed our Prophet said, every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire. We have to be extremely careful of teaching and following these types of practices. So therefore, any statement regarding description of someone in any bad terms or an evil word must be verified as to its correctness, and refer it all to available opinions and variances. The wise scholar of this ummah used to emphasize fine character and good manners to their students. They valued etiquette of the Muslims very highly. Al-Hassan ibn Ismail said, "I heard my father say, in the gathering of Ahmad bin Hanbal, around 5,000 people or more would gather. And of these 5,000 people, less than 500 would write narrations," meaning take notes, "and the rest would simply be there to learn good manners and correct behavior from him." So in conclusion, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we should try to seek authentic knowledge as much as possible. Take advantage of this forum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Sister Layla to be able to provide for us. When we're able to come to the classes and be attentive and be good students. Don't come for the entertainment value. For truly, when you sit and you seriously try to become a student of knowledge, we recognize that there's a difference between coming to the weekly halakha or the daily halakha and going to the Islamic conferences. Keep in mind that the imams and the students and the scholars who present at these conferences, they've had time to prepare. And they recognize that many of the people who come to this conference, they'll have no other way of getting knowledge until the next conference comes along. So they try to provide an entertainment value for the people as well. It may not be their intention, but they know they have to keep the attention of those they're speaking to. So there's a certain entertainment value there. They give you the big names and the big speakers. But for the day-to-day halakha and the day-to-day studies of Islam, it's hard and it's difficult. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. And sometimes it can be boring. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will benefit you and bless you with this knowledge. So keep in mind that if we're doing it simply for the sake of Allah, we're ready to endure the hardships. So this thing that we must do, we must first of all pick out the right teachers, the suitable times, and the dedication required to be well planned for, so we can get the maximum effect for what we're trying to get. And I want to give you a reminder of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh. When he would make dua to Allah to increase in his knowledge, he gave an advice to his students. He said, when you ask Allah to benefit you with knowledge, don't forget to ask Allah that when he gives you this knowledge, he gives it to you when you are in a position of safety and security. I myself can tell you firsthand from my own experiences the difficulties and the great losses that I went through when I traveled away from my home to get knowledge. I lost quite a bit in my process. But inshallah ta'ala, what I gained is greater than what I lost. But be sure to ask Allah, when we ask him for knowledge, that we ask him to give it to us in safety and security and happiness. And that he protect us from those who are against us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته